And welcome, Hagar Cohen.
Hello, Noel. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Look, where are we off to?
Look, we would have gone tonight to the Carteret Islands, which are off the coast of Papua New Guinea.
Carteret, is that north, is it? I'm not sure where that is.
It's just off the coast. Right. Yeah, a bit north. But it seems it's not the best place to be in at the moment, and apparently not in the future either.
I'm hearing water. I'm hearing water sound effects.
Water. Well, it's because rising sea levels are slowly but steadily swallowing the beautiful islands.
Oh, these are one of the islands which are actually being sinking under rising seawater, effectively.
That's right. Well, look, most say this is happening because of climate change. And the islanders from Carteret, who are one of the first environmental refugees, actually the world's first environmental refugees, are waiting to be relocated, most probably to Bougainville in Papua New Guinea.
The New Guinea government is taking care of them.
Well, that's what the Papua New Guinea government has been promising for quite a number of years, I think from 2001. But our guests tonight say nothing is happening, and islanders are anxious because their future is very uncertain. As you could imagine, they won't have an island in a few years and won't have a home. So I spoke to Ursula Rakova and Bernard Tunim, and they're actually residents of Carteret Islands, but they're here in Sydney to talk about a life of displacement, relocation and survival.
I was born on Carteret, I grew up on Carteret, and life is basically very simple. Everyday life is fishing for us. It's just so peaceful. We do not have a lot of problems faced by other provinces because of law and order. And basically, we just enjoy being island people. Very simple island life.
When we came yesterday, I was dumbstruck by seeing people very busy here in Sydney, and especially Brisbane. People are not talking to each other. They are so preoccupied with what they are doing. They are running here and there. And in the cartridge, life is easygoing, and we talk to each other. When we meet each other, we talk about going fishing and what we experience in terms of family relationship. And life is easygoing on the island of Carteret.
So most people on the islands are fishing?
Exactly. At the moment, we live mainly on fish and coconut, and collecting sea cucumber, that's a beach demmer, the only source of revenue that we have on the island.
Ursula, has it always been like that in terms of the lifestyle? Was it always very relaxed?
It's always been like that, but recently we have witnessed sea erosion. We have tried to plant mangroves to control the sea from coming in. We have also tried to build sea walls to control the sea from coming in, but this has not been great help. Island life has always been so simple. We have been so preoccupied. Our customs are still intact. People basically know each other.
When did you start noticing a change?
Over the last 20 to 30 years, we have realized that places where we used to make our gardens are now underwater. And even where we used to walk on, we are now paddling canoes. The sea has basically come in. The islands are shrinking and are getting smaller. We can no longer make gardens because we have lost one of our staple foods, which is swamp taro. We no longer can grow swamp taro on the atolls.
So in a way, it's been a gradual change. You're talking about 20, 30 years. But what was your reaction when you started realising that this wasn't coincidental, that sea levels are going to rise and rise?
The island people do not know much about science. All they know about is that the islands are shrinking. They can also see water seeping through the land. To island people, this is serious.
Bernard, how did that make you feel?
The tragedy came strong in the 1980s when there was a tidal wave that almost buried all islands and we lost everything, especially Suamtaro. And that's when the provincial government began to supply us with rice. At the moment, the autonomous government of Bougainville has been supplying us rice almost 2-3 times a year, and it's not enough. So at this point in time, our people are facing this acute problem, shortage of food, and it's affecting women and children and old people in terms of food, and the situation is becoming an urgent situation at the moment where we want to relocate the people to the mainland of Bougainville.
But the community itself, apart from receiving aid from outside, I mean, you've planted mangroves to try and tackle the problem. Can you tell me about these efforts?
Our people have been trying to slow down the process, but even the efforts that were made by building seawalls and planting mangroves have not helped. And even though people are not willing to move from the islands, we are telling them it's a must. Whether we like it or not, we have to be relocated to the mainland of Bougainville. And that's what we are doing at the moment.
I'm interested to know about your personal story. Ursula, what happened to your home, for example?
Previously, Cartwrights had 6 tiny atolls. Now we are left with 7 little atolls because one of the atolls, which is an atoll that my family owns, has been divided in half. And I remember as a young girl, that island was used by lots of people as a picnic island because there wasn't anyone living on the atoll at that time. But as the years went by, my family felt that we needed to establish our roots back on the atoll, and that's when I have moved, even after the sea has divided the atoll. So I feel that this is an extreme situation where the islands are not getting any bigger. They continue to shrink. The sea continues to erode the shorelines of the atolls on Cartwrights.
How does it make you feel that you have to leave your home?
We are attached to the islands because we have been living there for so many years. And we feel we are victims of something we have not created. We do not drive cars, nor do we own factories. Yet we have to face the brunt of global warming at its worst. And so we feel angry. There is no justice. Global warming will continue to affect low-lying atolls, and Cartwrights is just one of those atolls.
So we're talking about the actual situation on the island. Bernard, why is it happening?
This is because of the major countries like America, Australia, England, and other superpowers. We are glad that the APEC meeting has been held in Australia, and we believe Australia plays an important role, especially in the Pacific region. Australia has given millions to Pacific countries, small countries like Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands and Fiji, trying to help them alleviate this poverty problem. Now, people like ourselves who are facing this situation, we are here especially to ask people of Australia and the government of Australia if they can assist us financially so that we will be able to help ourselves move to the mainland of Bougainville.
One of the solutions suggested to this problem is moving the islander community to Bougainville. Tell me about this solution. Are you happy with that?
We are not very pleased to move to the mainland of Bougainville, but what else is there for us? There's no other alternative. The only option that you have is adaptation, and that is relocation process. At the moment, we are trying to ask Autonomous Government of Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, and Australia to help us financially so that we could purchase 130 hectares of land so that our community from Cartridge be moved to those hectares, and we want them to live in a community so that we don't lose our identity, and that's why we are here.
Which is pretty different to the identity of, or to the ethnicity of people who live in Bougainville, isn't it?
Yeah, Cartridge, because of its distance from mainland Bougainville, has managed to keep its traditional, its values intact. And we want to move to one location so that the 2,000 plus Cartridge Islanders can maintain their identity and traditions in their own location.
Tell me about your ethnic origins and how do they differ with the ethnic origins of the people of Bougainville?
In terms of ethnicity, we are very much the same group of people, except our cultures vary. But we do not see any major differences in terms of cultures and traditions. Our cultures and traditions are more or less the same, one or two differences. But we have our own way of life. We have lived our own way of life. And these are the values that we want to maintain as identity for us as Cartridge Islanders.
The Papua New Guinean government have been talking about relocating you to Bougainville for a number of years. What's been happening so far?
In 2001, the Autonomous Bougainville government, together with the PNG government, started to talk about relocation of the Cartridge Islanders. In 1984, there was a program where 10 to 20 families were relocated on mainland Bougainville. When the civil unrest that basically covered Bougainville took its toll, the families returned to Cartridge. So in 2001, they started to talk about this again. Then it lapsed for a number of years. Last year, they started to talk about it. And basically, the Autonomous Bougainville government is concentrating on developing a policy before they can start negotiations. And to us, we feel it will take a long, long time for the Autonomous Bougainville government to physically move our people. And this is why we have organized ourselves. We feel this is a critical situation where we will have to move our people to safer grounds.
Because the Cartridge Islands are no longer safe.
They are no longer safe. We cannot grow food to basically sustain our lives, because the salt water is seeping through the land.
And what's going to happen to you in the meantime?
At the moment, we are running this program of awareness and at the same time negotiating with the landowners on the mainland of Bougainville. We have other problems associated with the crisis on Bougainville, and problems like Autonomous Government of Bougainville has many big plantations that were owned by foreigners, and this plantation have been taken over by the landowners. They're saying, okay, we fought for this ground, we lost lives, and we suffered. We are claiming it again. So when we are talking about having them to give us these blocks of land, we want the government to outright purchase this land so that we don't have any hiccup in the future with relation to claiming this land again by the landowners.
We are also getting organized in the sense that each family on Cartridge is contributing one kina towards this relocation program, so that it's part of their contribution to move our people to safer grounds on mainland Bougainville. At the same time, each family is also making shell money, because in Bougainville, shell money and pigs are valuable in terms of purchase of land.
You're here in Australia. What is your message to the Australian community? Why are you here?
We are here to tell the people of Australia and the government of Australia that the situation we are facing on the Cartridge is very urgent and need positive response as soon as possible. We are here to tell them what our situation is and if they can help us financially so that we can help ourselves or purchase a block of land outright and then relocate our people on this block of land on the mainland of Bougainville.
Our message to Australia and the government would be that Australia will need to sign the Kyoto Protocol and make laws that govern protection and control of emission of gases into the air. At the same time, Australia is part of the APEC community, and they've got to effectively assist countries who are trying to effectively adapt to climate change.
And thanks there to producer Hagar Cohen for that postcard from Yeri of New Guinea, from Cataract Island.